The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And good afternoon. Welcome in. We are ready to go today on this Tuesday. Thanks for being a part of the program. Hard to believe it's just been a week since we got back from the national championship game with everything that has gone on. Especially appreciate everyone yesterday. It was an extraordinarily difficult day, and all of you helped make it just a little bit easier. Let's get going right now with some headlines. We'll get to your phone calls in a minute. Column from Chase Goodbread in the Tuscaloosa News. Want to be Nick Saban's next DC? Thin skin need not apply. Does that include some of the candidates that have been mentioned? Jeremy Pruitt's on that list. Well, where have you read this story before? Jim Harbaugh decides not to go to the pros and is staying in Michigan just 11 months after saying he would never consider an NFL job again, that his heart was at Michigan. Jim Harbaugh said yesterday he is not going to consider any NFL jobs, and what's left of his heart remains at Michigan. In the best games of the 2022 season by Bill Conley, some you will agree with, some you will simply say that's Bill Conley being Bill Conley. Explain this to me, friends. How does TCU over Michigan, a game that really decided nothing other than who would get slaughtered by the winner of the next game, tops Georgia, Ohio State? That was the best game of the year. It was the most important game of the year. The winner was set up to be the national champion. Tennessee, Alabama, I have no argument with that at 3, and Alabama losing to LSU at 4. How about Arkansas in the Liberty Bowl? A couple of other ones you may remember. How about App State getting on there twice, first couple of weeks of the season? So that's where we are here on this Tuesday afternoon. Glad you're with us. Let's get to the guest list. And we'll talk to the aforementioned Bill Conley in a minute. Pat Forty from SI will talk about a number of things with him, including Harbaugh, as well as an update on the situation in Alabama. And Roy Kramer, the former SEC commissioner, going into the College Football Hall of Fame. We'll talk to the legend a little bit later on. First, your phone calls, 855-242-7285. We begin with Kathy. Good afternoon, Kathy.
Hi, Paul. I just want to say that I appreciate all the great comments yesterday regarding the UGA family and all. And I want to say for Jim at Michigan, same story, different date. The TCU-Georgia game was, like Al said, you felt bad. You know, they had the rule that we could go on and end it. But also, I wanted to say to Amy in South Carolina that she must not watch football because she would see her St. Nick on the sideline saying GD. I'd rather my coach Kirby say the F-bomb GD any day, which
yeah, Kathy. What Kathy's sort of referring to? What was her name again, Kathy? I can't remember.
When she was talking about Kirby's.
She was upset. Thanks for the call. She was upset that one of the pregame talks of Kirby Smart leaked out to the media, and he was using very strong language. That is hard for me to believe. A college football coach talking to his team in private would use a couple of curse words. John, I know you're surprised by that.
I mean, what the?
Hold on.
Okay, you're saying it's still working. The button's still working.
Family show, come on.
Beautiful show yesterday, Paul. You and the producers did a great job. The callers were great, other than a few outliers who wanted to complain, but I'll tell you, your show, the civility level's been at an all-time high, I think going back to November with the Virginia killings, and then Mike Leach in December, then you had what happened yesterday.
Yeah, you know what, John? I think about 99.9% of our callers understand the show, and then there's the outlier or two. But you know what? We don't care. We're moving on. We believe in the good, and the rest of the people can find somewhere else to go.
I was going to talk to you about the NIL and the Florida-Miami situation, but we'll let the dust settle there. But I'll give you the high and lows of the Harbaugh drama.
Yeah,
don't
sure.
want to steal any Pat Forty's thunder. He's a neighbor. But here's what happened. Harbaugh was leveraging the whole time. And this is what I hear from some alumni. He has three cards to play. He's got the NFL card, you know, where he went to the playoffs 3 years in a row and 14 years as a player, yada, yada. And you know, he was a quarterback whisperer for Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick, a couple others. Then he's got the so-called Michigan alumni card, All-American quarterback, Heisman finalist. Those are the first two cards. The third card is the hot card. That's the Michigan coaching. What have you done for me lately? And you know what it is. You've given this credit. It's the 2 years the CFP, 2 years winning a conference championship, beating that much better team down south, and so on and so forth. But what he wanted the whole time was he wanted not to be the fourth best paid coach in the Big Ten. He wanted his staff to be paid. No one's making $1 million or more. And then he wants NIL money. So what I see coming out of Ann Arbor now is there's a rift between him and the AD, and he's working directly with the president. But, you know, he lives there in Ann Arbor. He grew up there. His father moved there after he got the job. I don't see him ever leaving. I think it's just a bluff game.
John, I thought it was striking that the president, who now tweets out everything that he hears from Harbaugh, I think his name is Dr. Ono, said yesterday that after hearing from Harbaugh, he was going to inform Ward Manuel, which is just so telling. that's not how it normally, I can't tell you how many times I've spoken to college presidents and they say the same thing. I hire the athletic director who hires the football coach. That's deniability. They don't want to get caught in the shrapnel starts flying when a coach is on the hot seat, so they blame it on the AD. They can always fire that guy easily, he or she.
Yeah, you know, drama aside, literally he's been the most successful coach the last 2 years, other than obviously Kirby. Three losses in the CFP and the conference. So he ought to take advantage of it. And truly, Michigan is being tight with the money, both for the staff and for NIL. So, you know, I applaud him for that part. But, man, the drama's got to end.
And there's one
soon.
Other thing you have to consider, John. Nobody in the NFL really wants him. And that has been proven time again. And I think he rolled it out. Apparently, Denver didn't say no because they're waiting to hear on Sean Payton. But once they would have said no, ultimately. Hey, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. Pat is in Georgia. Pat, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. I listened to most of the show yesterday, but I didn't want to call in. I want to talk about Mike White in a minute, but I'll bet I've driven down that road in Athens 100 times in my lifetime, and our son Kevin lived several years in that apartment complex, and that's just, it's tragic, and I really do appreciate the tone of the show yesterday, and thank you very much.
Hey, Pat, before you go, I want to pass along a message to you from the Vatican.
Yes, sir.
I received an email yesterday from our friend Archbishop Marino, and he mentioned to me, I'm reading it now, I've held this out, he said, tell Pat, who asked me to light a candle for his caregiver Beverly, who was also his wife, that I did. He said, I went to St. Peter's Basilica, which everyone knows is at the epicenter of the Vatican, and they do not, this is really extraordinary. So they do not allow, there are no candles in St. Peter's Basilica. So I went to St. Anne's Church, which is in the Vatican right at one of the entrances. It's a lovely church. He actually sent me pictures of this. And please assure him, I'm reading here from his note, that I lit the candle prayed for Beverly and made a proper offering. And he sent me a couple of pictures. I just wanted to make sure that I got that message to you.
Well, thank you for sharing that with me. I knew he would, and that's thanks, Paul. I appreciate you sharing that with me very much. Let's talk about Mike White for a minute, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get your opinion. In the conference, he's 3-1. He unfortunately lost to Florida, as we all know. But he's got Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Auburn under his belt. And is he off to a good start, in your opinion? And are we that much better than we were last year?
Yes. I think Mike White is a fantastic basketball coach who simply, like a lot of people, outlive their usefulness wherever they are. When they become a subject of controversy and pulling and tugging and pulling, and no matter what they do, it's never going to be enough. They should leave. And he made a great decision. I thought he made a fantastic decision. I give the AD, Brooks, at Georgia tremendous credit for going out and hiring somebody that you normally would not have thought of. And that program's got a huge game tonight on the road, and I think they're off to a fantastic start. We're heading to the break. More to come. Bill Conley in a few minutes. More of your phone calls right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. We continue with your phone calls, and John is up next. Hello, John. John, you there? No, John. Dear John, we'll try again. Will is up next. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Didn't get a chance to call yesterday, but I watched. I want to call in my condolences, too, to the kids from Georgia. I want to kind of echo, too, what John was saying. I'm having a hard time really recollecting such a tragic college football season. Started with the tight end at Oregon, and then in my conference, the ACC, what took part at Virginia. And I know one time I called and maybe suggested somebody coming on. I think it was Tony Kornheiser, and a couple months later you had him on. And, you know, with the Archbishop, I don't know how deep in the weeds of religion you want to go, but, you know, with your show being – you know, kind of the rock of all of college football, I didn't know if you might would consider Andy Stanley. You know, he's right there in Georgia, too, so he could speak on that. But
sure. No, listen, Will, there's really not a guest we wouldn't consider if you want to, if you or anyone, for that matter, would suggest one. I think that's a fantastic suggestion.
Right. I know that... like I said, it's just really been a tragic year and then with Mike Leach, but I'm not sure how far deep in the weeds of religion you want to go, but Archbishop, that was a really I really respect you bringing him on, but I watch a lot of Andy Stanley on Sundays when I'm not able to go to church, and his father too, Charles. But I didn't.
Yeah, you know, I've I grew up like so many others, watching Charles Stanley, and I've always thought he was the quintessential minister for TV, because he's so easy to listen to and watch. And I don't know as much about his son, but I will definitely check it out.
Yeah, I think he went to Georgia State, actually, but okay. I'm kind of like you. When I'm not able to make it to church, that's who I watch on Sundays. But just a suggestion, and once again, just want to offer my condolences as a Tennessee fan to the kids in Georgia, how horrible that was to hear. But anyway, all right, Paul, have a good day.
Thank you very, very much. Bobby is in Georgia. Hello, Bobby.
Hello, Mr. Powell. How you doing today, brother?
Bobby, we are doing well. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question. It's been going on and on about did you think that was a late hit on that Ohio State targeting call on that Harrison receiver? Do you think that was targeted or not?
No.
Okay. Well, I'd like to, if you give me a moment, to address some of the Bama fans, if you give me a moment.
Sure.
Handsome Joe, early in the season, he predicted that Georgia to go 7-5, and he just about got Alabama's record 7-5, didn't he, instead of Georgia?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Handsome Joe is in the missing persons watch now.
I've noticed that.
We haven't seen him since.
And Larry from Alabama, I think he's got a memory problem. He thinks your name is Jack. He calls you Jack all the time, don't he?
He does. No, that's an old joke. Larry, to his credit, he called in yesterday, and we appreciate it very much.
Hey, that meant a lot. I'll give the guy his dues. That was precious. I'll give him his dues. But one more thing, Paul, I want to tell you. I'm glad now that you're giving Georgia our dues, because before it's just like anytime you say something about the Bama callers, they drag you. So you're free now to speak about my Bulldogs.
Well, I am looking forward to that, Bobby. You take care of yourself. Thank you. Dustin is in Tulsa. Hello, Dustin. Good afternoon to you.
Good morning from Tulsa, Paul. How are you, Bob?
You bet.
Hey, I know we kind of got cut off yesterday because it was the end of the show, but I really wanted to thank you, man. You guys are doing good work here at your show, and it's really uplifting. I don't think you really, well, you may, but I don't know if you realize the amount of people that look forward to this every day and kind of consider it like a little family. It's very nice to have, so thank you for everything.
Thank you, Dustin, for saying that.
Yeah, you're welcome. I wanted to talk Razorbacks real quick and kind of get, we keep adding guys. I mean, we've picked up we've gotten better, I think, on the D-line, picked up a tackle from, offensive tackle from Florida, and a couple of, linebackers, a safety, a cornerback. I already think we're better in the secondary, three great new coaches, two of them on defense, some stud tight ends, and three wide receivers that are all over 6'4". I mean, I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to Coach Pittman yet, but I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, granted, I was excited for last season too, but I'm excited about the way this is shaping up. I feel like we've gotten a lot better at some skill positions than we might have been when the season ended.
Dustin, I have not talked to Coach yet. Look forward to doing that soon. And I agree with you. I think whatever happened last year has already passed.
Yeah.
All you could do is recalibrate, which he's done with his staff. And get the right players in, and I think he's doing that. And I'm pretty upbeat. Mm-hmm. I'm a believer in Sam Pittman. Thank you very much for the call, and thank you for the kind comments as well. Ron is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Ron.
Hey, Paul, longtime listener and occasional caller.
Thank you.
Last time I called you was before the Bulldogs took on Alabama in the 2021 national championship, and I said before that game that we needed to get the elephant off our back, and I believe we did that. I just also wanted to thank you for all your empathy, caring, and compassion for the loss of Devin Willock and Chandler LaCroix in the Bulldog Nation on your show yesterday. And also thank all the callers yesterday from rival programs that did the same. But really, Paul, what I'm calling you today about is a lookalike. I sent a Twitter picture of a friend of mine, Dr. Frank Bonner, who's the former president of Gardner-Webb University, and he gave me my permission to put his picture on the show. Everyone asked him if he thinks he looks like Paul Feinbaum, and he says, no, I prefer to say that Paul Feinbaum looks like me. Just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, by the way, I happened to see that earlier, and it is I'd prefer you call and say, hey, I think you look like Brad Pitt, but you didn't say that. So I'll take the compliment. I am more than happy to be compared to such a distinguished individual like the president there.
Okay.
Well, when did he retire from Gardner-Webb?
He retired from Gardner-Webb as president about 2 years ago.
Okay. What's he doing now? Maybe we can see if he wants to, fill in for me one day.
Well, he does volunteer work now. I'm on a board with him, something called Champions for Children. He volunteers in the Cleveland County, North Carolina community doing good work. So he's still connected to the college in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
I'm pretty sure. Did Rick Barnes go to Gardner-Webb? I'm trying to remember.
I don't know if Coach Barnes went there or not.
I vaguely remember him mentioning that one day. He may have coached there or something. But anyway, Ron, thank you for sending that along, and you tell your friend that. We are going to be waiting for him in the studio one day to see. He made it as a president. We'll see how he does as a talk show host. We'll take a short break, and we are coming right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back, and leave it to Bill Connelly to come up with a list that everybody hates. Just kidding. It's the best college games of 2022. Obviously, most of you see it through the prism of your team. Bill joining us now. Bill, thanks for the time, as always. We'll get to the top 10 in a minute because that's where you're going to get just absolutely destroyed here. But how do you – I mean, there's a method to this madness. What is it? Or is there one?
Well, first of all, having to follow that up is very, very difficult, but we'll give it a try. This year it was pretty easy or easy-ish just because at the bottom of every Sunday night column I had a kind of my – 10 favorite games of the week. So I just got to start there, go back through every single week and pull that list up. And, I remembered those games pretty well. So you start there and then you just start sorting them around. And I think I like this game more than that one. And you end up with this very, very big list. It was a good year. We had Hail Marys that ranked in the 70s. Very, very high quality games in 2022. We were pretty blessed this year.
So before we get to the top 10, where did the tough decisions come?
Well, I think there was kind of a natural separation after the top four, first of all. I mean, the two Alabama losses and the two semifinals were pretty clearly the four best high-quality, high-impact games of the year. And so, I'm sure every single person who looks at this list would rank those four in a different order. But, I mean, that's I think, where one of the major elements of separation was. I always try to – you see pretty high scores in most of these games that are on the list. You got a 55-53 and a 46-45 and so on. I try to make sure I don't overreact to the pointsy games are very easy to rank really high. They're popcorn games. Try to make sure I'm being fair to the lower scoring games too. That 9-6 LSU Alabama game in 2011 was great too. Everybody's got their own taste. I try to make sure there's at least a few of those lower scoring games involved somewhere.
Yeah, clearly 3 and 4, the two Bama games were epic. Yeah. If you're looking for, what the most iconic scene of the whole season was, I mean, it's impossible to come up with anything. I think maybe the fact I was there was Tennessee beating Alabama. I mean, that was a scene for all time. But here's where we are going to find not only plenty of fault with you, a lot of fault with you, because I was at the Georgia-Ohio State games, and I was trying to watch the TCU-Michigan game, so maybe I missed something. Maybe I missed all the lead changes. Maybe I missed it coming down to a final field goal at midnight of 2022, but apparently you must have seen something I didn't to rank TCU over Michigan, a game that turned out not to mean one thing, over Georgia beating Ohio State, a game that pretty well decided the national championship.
Yeah, I think that was my favorite line I think I wrote all season, was Ohio State's kick went up in 2022 and missed in 2023. But there are certain feelings you get when you have absolutely no idea what's coming next. And Ohio State, Georgia made a lot of sense to me. That TCU-Michigan game from about the second minute of the third quarter to the second minute of the fourth lost its mind. And I lost my bearings. And that was an incredible feeling anytime you're watching such a major game.
Were you sober watching the game?
I was, as a matter of fact. But no, anytime you're watching such an important game, and it was, I mean, TCU, obviously neither team was going to hold a candle to Georgia in the final, but it still meant something to win that game. And the fact that it was that important a game and the plot twists were happening about every 30 seconds there in the third quarter. It settled down at the fourth, for sure. But it was about the best quarter I've ever seen in a college football playoff game. And that feeling never really left me. So I'm sure,
I guess the name of this title is Best Third Quarter of the 22 season,
that's right.
Top games. So which lead change in the TCU-Michigan game got to you the most?
Well, that was the whole give and take of that game was, okay, Michigan's back. Nope, TCU's ahead again. Okay, Michigan's back again. No lead changes. But it was up for grabs entirely until the last minute. So I am at peace with that. That game made me very happy. And then the second game made me 99.8% as happy too. So they were easily the top two to me.
Okay, well, listen, because it is a new year and we do like you. We don't want to just stomp our feet and act like we're not going to go on because we collectively disagree.
I've gathered that on Twitter so far. I've picked up on that.
So what else have you heard from the masses?
There was a big push for Tennessee and Bama. I think the only reason that was three and the other two were higher is because the other two were semifinals. You could easily, those two games were, the fact that LSU Bama wasn't somehow the best game that Bama lost this season tells you a lot about Tennessee and everything that went about that game. But I think otherwise I haven't gotten a lot of pushback. Obviously that trio of Appalachian State games early in the season, including the A&M game, made an impression on a lot of people. USC losses made an impression on a lot of people, both the Tulane one and the first Utah one. So it seems like for the most part, nobody's pushing back in a major, major way except for, the top four, the four most important ones. But, who's counting, I guess.
Bill, just some takeaways on the season from you. We'll move on from your very flawed list, which we do not accept as official. What about this Georgia run here? What do you think it means, especially with a moderately easy schedule next year, and who knows exactly who will be the big challengers?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the reason it's so hard to repeat in college football is, I mean, you have to play so many teams that are pretty close to your talent level, or at least a few. You're playing with 19 to 22 year olds. The ball's pointy and bounces really weird, and you can't count on it to bounce your way. All that happened for Georgia. They really only needed any help whatsoever in two games, and even with the Missouri game, it was close. But once they had to go into winning mode, there was no question who was going to win that game. So the fact that they left that little to doubt was really, really impressive to me. They just didn't. They needed one bounce. They needed Ohio State to miss that kick, and that was it. So now you're heading into a third year where you're right. The schedule is very, very friendly overall. Not that, I mean, obviously they had scheduled Oklahoma to begin with, and that game got canceled. But that probably means there are fewer games on this schedule where they need a bounce or two as well. And you know, I'm never going to, it's so hard to win even two in a row, much less three. They're going to have to beat two really, really good teams at the end of the year, even if they get there. But it's really, really hard to start next season with anybody else in that top spot but Georgia.
Bill, as you look for the key challengers, who's next on your hit parade?
I think, obviously, just looking at the schedule there, seeing at Tennessee that late in the year, Joe Milton, we'll see what he can do over the course of a season. I love what he did against Clemson, but we've fallen in love with Joe Milton before and had it not work out all that well. So we'll see exactly what Tennessee has to offer, but it seems like they're going to offer a lot. Florida, it's hard to really, really buy in until we see a couple of things. But obviously, just finishing the year at Tennessee and then with the SEC West champion, if they win, assuming they win the East, that alone is a pretty good finish. And you know, I guess this year, though, the biggest regular season challenge came in a game none of us expected. And that's part of the fun. They have to maintain their attention span. That was a little bit of an issue midseason. They have to make sure they get those, they avoid, you know, needing those bounces again. And we'll see if they can do that. But Tennessee, I think, starts off as the biggest challenge.
Do you buy some of the early media love for LSU over Alabama in terms of the biggest challenger within the SEC?
I don't think I do. I mean, Alabama still recruits like Alabama. And obviously, you know, we're going to see some coordinator change here. We're going to see a quarterback change. Obviously, there are plenty of opportunities for them to fall a little bit. But, you know, my SP Plus rankings, they haven't ranked below, I think, third in like 15 years. You know, they're just until they fall off. Maybe they're not Georgia anymore or at this point. Maybe Georgia really is the single biggest power in the sport. But I don't know how we could think of Alabama as anything but number two or number three until they prove otherwise, because they still haven't. You know, they proved against Kansas State at the end of the year. Their ceiling was still ridiculously high, even if they were more inconsistent than normal this year. I just can't see it. I think they're easily number two or three overall. And LSU could be top 10, but they have a couple more steps to take, I think.
Bill Conley with another list that we do not like joining us here from ESPN. Bill, thank you very much. Always great to see you. We'll talk soon. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285 after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. As we continue here, Pat Forty joining us a little bit later on. George is up next in North Carolina.
Hi, Paul.
Hi there.
What are your thoughts about Alabama becoming a basketball team?
Well, I think they've really, they're well underway under Nate Oates. What was it, 2 years ago when they had that incredible run? And they've been really a major factor for a couple of years now. And periodically, they've always been very good in basketball. I think we have to, you know, let see how the season finishes. But right now, I think you'd have to think they're going to be a serious contender for the championship.
Yeah, do you think they will get in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, right now Alabama is projected as a number one seed. I think what you have to do, though, is just wait. Tonight's an important game to see how the team responds to what has to have been a grueling and traumatic week with one of their teammates being arrested and put in jail. I think it's a tremendous burden on Nate Oates and the leadership on that team. I think, you know, before I mean we still have 6 weeks before Selection Sunday, but right now, you know, short of a collapse, they're in very good shape. Thank you for the call, appreciate it very much. Let's check out Irvin in Albany. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
We are well, thank you.
Enjoying the show. I had a question about the transfer portal first. With the transfer portal, do you think Kirby Smart will finally look into the transfer portal and get some players? I know he doesn't like to do so. And my other question is, the man that came on with the top 10, did he watch the LSU-Georgia game in the SEC championship? Did he have that rank?
He did not. As far as Kirby Smart in the portal, I don't think he's eager to get in the portal, but you know, he would have taken Caleb Williams a year ago.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, I just think it's a matter of, you know, he doesn't really need a lot. So Yeah, he'll take a player on occasion, but I don't think there's a whole lot in there right now that he wants. Let's remember, the portal has a lot of players in it, but it doesn't. But it's not like you're shopping at the top stores. I mean, those guys, every one of them has a flaw. That doesn't mean they can't help you, as we have seen time again. But you know, when you're Kirby Smart and you have the best program and you've had the best recruiting and you've developed players better than anyone else, you are going to be picky. Thanks for the call. Thank you very, very much. Let's check in with Walter in North Carolina. Hello, Walter.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well.
I was wondering if Paul has seen Florida State play on the television.
I sure have. I think they've done a tremendous job, Walter. In fact, I think based on everything, you know, with the quarterback they have coming back and being in the ACC, I think they've got a legitimate shot next year to be in the playoffs.
I do too. And even the girls' basketball team is as good as the boys' football team. Have you seen them play?
I've not. I'll check it out. Thanks for the call. Let's talk to Charlie in Richmond. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Paul. I think we all agree that the most important position on the football field is quarterback. You can't win without good quarterback. I'd like for you to consider who would be the five best quarterbacks since the invention of the quarterback. And who would you choose for the top five? I've got five that I'm.
Yeah, so we're talking. I'm particularly interested in where you go because I have a couple in my mind, but I'd like to hear from you first.
Okay, these are all. They have to be successful in college,
right?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, we're just talking about college quarterbacks here.
Right. Yeah, Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Staubach. Joe Namath. John Elway, and Steve McNair.
Wow, that's a good one. Those are good. I would trying to think who of that list I would use for mine. Probably Roger Staubach, even though I didn't see him play. I know how good he was. I would put Tim Tebow in my list. I would add, you know, McNair is a great choice. I like that. I would put Joe Burrow on my list, just from someone I've seen recently.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think about someone a little bit older.
How about Johnny Majors? He was not really a famous.
Yeah,
quarterback,
Johnny. But... Yeah, Johnny was a halfback. Peyton Manning definitely deserves to be on that list. Here's the problem with the list. Is it a collective list? Is it an individual list? Because I will say this. For a single season, I've never seen anybody better than Cam Newton in 2010.
Huh.
But that's not what we're talking about. Johnny Manziel, for a given moment, is the most exciting player I've ever seen. Tebow, to me, had every I'm throwing names up in the air as we cobble this list together. Because it's so subjective on era, on when what are we talking? I mean, we're talking about a 60, 70 year period here.
Yeah. But you didn't have quarterbacks in the early days.
Yeah, no, I would never go back before the 60s because the game was just completely different. But in fact, I tell you what, of the Mannings, I would say Archie Manning was the best of the college quarterbacks. We'll take a break.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.